97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Welcome to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. My name is Bo Matthews alongside Mark Cox, and we have a very interesting show this weekend. We got the Big Bass Bash Tournament coming up October 1st and 2nd. We're going to talk to the founder of that that big tournament where you could win a lot of money just for fishing. And we are also going to talk to, from Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO.net, Matt Moneymaker. And immediately when I saw this was on our show sheet, thank you, Carl, I thought of tattoos. People put tattoos on their body for a very important reason. Something happened in their life. Somebody said something. Never put a girl's name on your body, although some do. But a friend of mine, Dave Glover, actually has a tattoo of Bigfoot to commemorate an encounter. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Dave Glover, how are you, brother?
Hello, boys. How are you?
What's going on, Dave? How you been, my friend?
I've been great, man. How are my two favorite broadcasters?
Thank you. We appreciate that. So Bo brought this up, and for some reason, I didn't know that this fact about Dave Glover. Is that because this thing is where the sun doesn't shine, or is it somewhere where somebody might actually see it?
Ooh.
Yes, let's just say that where I have it tattooed, Bigfoot has one real big brown eye.
Could change his nickname now.
Yeah, no kidding. That's funny. So, Dave, what's the story there? What you had an encounter, is that correct?
Yeah, so I have been into Bigfoot, like, you know, my whole life. We're all about the same age, and Leonard Nimoy, and Search Of, and stuff. But the last few years, I've gotten really into it, listening to different podcasts, and have pretty much become convinced that, I don't know what it is, but I think there's something out there that not everyone is lying or hoaxing. So my good pal, Scott and I started Foxpaw a few years back, phone fixing company.
Loved
He's
it.
Done very, very well in life, very successful, very devout Christian, very sober, very skeptic. And we went out to his place in Colorado riding motorcycles. And so part of the fun for him, it was like a bad Chevy Chase movie from the 80s, is we'd be riding our motorcycles and he would point up into the mountains like there's Bigfoot, and I would look and he would laugh. And this went on for about 3 days, and just like a bad script, we were on top of Vail at the resort. We took Gondola 2 up. I can tell you exactly where it was. It's called Bell Ringers something. There's like a little visitor center, and there's a little roller coaster, and we were up there taking pictures. And if you picture it, on one side of the mountain, that's the mountain where people ski. On the other side, it's just the mountain. And we were looking off on that side, the desolate side. And Scott takes a picture of me, and then he looks down the mountain, and he says, "What's that?" And I literally start to say, "Okay, dude." The joke's over. It's no longer funny. And he looks really serious. And I don't see anything for about 10 seconds. And then I finally see it. It's about 150 yards away. And I'm just gauging that based on playing golf. Every hole has a 150-yard marker, and you kind of know. And anyone who plays golf knows that if you're at the 150 and you're looking at the green and there are people, there are golfers on it, you can tell if it's a man or a woman or if they're big or tall or little, sure, or if they're wearing shorts or slacks, so you can see pretty well. And what we see is this unnaturally tall person. Let's gonna call it a person. It wasn't a bear. It was, you know, Bo, you're tall. Skip Weber's 6'9". I know tall people, and this person was every bit as tall as Skip, probably taller, and very thin. You know, not a behemoth like on the Patterson film. And if I didn't know so much about Bigfoot, I wouldn't have ever thought it. But I know from my research and listening to all these podcasts that when people see it, a lot of times it acts very agitated and very strange, and it sways back and forth and it does all these weird things. And that's what this person was doing. They were moving their arms back and forth in this very weird way, like if they had an imaginary towel toweling off the front of their legs. Was walking in circles one way, then walking in circles another way, looking really like agitated and confused. And it was black, jet black from head to toe, no brakes, head, hands, feet, the whole thing. And after probably 30 seconds, maybe 40 seconds, it just walked back into the woods. We went back there, you know, the last couple years, you know, when we went, and there are people who ride mountain bikes. So it's possible that this was a seven and a half foot tall person. It's possible who is riding mountain bikes and was geared up in all black. It's possible, but it didn't look like that. And the person, the thing didn't act like that. And it walked into the woods and there was no bike anywhere. You know, so that's about all we could come up with. And like I said, my friend Scott is as sober and skeptical as you get and loves to make fun of me about it. And he was shaken. And like we went to after that and he just kept saying, dude, I have no idea what that was. And so, you know, it's not as exciting as some encounters where people like walk up and go chest to chest with this thing. But I haven't been able to explain it. I've told the story several times, and other than like a mountain biker who I said, and it's possible, it's more likely that it's a 7.5 foot tall mountain biker dressed in black, acting really strange, than it is that it's some sort of a cryptid. But
those,
you know,
hippies.
That's what I saw.
Well, you know, I think you've kind of explained it because you had a background in at least reading about it and studying it. It sounds like maybe your friend would have been more of a cynic and less likely. He wasn't quite sure what it was. Dave, was it hairy? Is that a fair question? Was it?
Yeah, it's a fair question. I didn't see it. A lot of people, when they see these things, describe it looking like it's wearing a ghillie suit.
Right.
You know, like sort of like dreads, like Predator. And it didn't look like that. But it also didn't look like it was wearing skin-tight Velcro clothing.
Okay.
It honestly sort of looked like if you took a 7-foot-tall guy and put him in a Bigfoot costume, but they were very thin. They weren't a big, giant person.
Huh.
And said, stand down there and walk around real funny for a minute, and then walk into the woods. That's what it looked like.
Wow.
You know, it didn't look like a gorilla suit or anything, but it just, and you guys know how, just as humans who've evolved, when you see something, sometimes your brain just kind of goes, that's not right. You know, maybe you see a crime happen or a car accident, and your brain just, you know, your brain is a way of differentiating between weird and really, really weird. And both of our brains went into the really, really weird category. And I've heard people say this on Bigfoot encounters all the time. Why didn't he take a picture? I was literally holding my phone. I had just taken a picture 10 seconds before, and it never occurred to me. It never
you were that stunned.
Taking a picture or shooting a video.
Because you're not a millennial. That's the problem. You know, I yeah, think what's really cool is that your buddy was with you that you know, confirm this, corroborate the story. So you got the tattoo. I can't even imagine what the conversation was with your artist, but did your buddy also get a tattoo to commemorate that?
No, it didn't. It shook him, and he's definitely more open-minded about things like that now. And pretty much we see each other all the time. We still go motorcycle riding. I'm heading back out there in a couple of weeks. But no, he didn't get any tattoos, but every time we see each other, he kind of brings it up like, okay, for real, what do you think? And, you know, we have the conversation. It's just a shared, weird experience.
That is amazing. Well, Glove, thank you so much for joining us on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Is this a debut appearance for you on the show?
Yes, it is.
Hey.
I've been trying to get on for years. I was blocked for some reason.
You want to slide an advertiser in here on this deal? I'm kidding.
That's good. I do enough lives.
He needs some extra capacity here.
Trying to fit him in. That's awesome. Dave, thank you so much, and thanks for bringing what you do to St. Louis Radio every day on 97.1 and on KMOX. We'll talk soon, okay?
All right. Thank you, fellas.
All right, Dave.
All right.
Yeah, we appreciate it.
That's exciting. Well, that's very cool. As soon as I saw Carl had posted the Bigfoot interview, which we're going to do here in just a moment, I thought of Dave, because I mean, who gets a tattoo of Bigfoot on their arm? By the way, it's on his forearm. So don't give me no weird crap.
I've never noticed it. Maybe I don't know why I wouldn't have noticed a big Bigfoot tattoo on Dave's arm.
It's now, really not that big.
You know, I mean, he and I have worked opposite shifts for a long time. My midday show used to be right before his show on 97.1. But maybe he had long sleeve shirts on or something. I just didn't notice it.
Well, it's obviously in the last couple of years. But no, I knew his story was legit. And I didn't know the other part about his buddy who is the business owner guy. But anyway, so that's this is the Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors. A lot of outdoors this show.
Been outdoors. So have you seen anything like that, Bo, in your long history on this earth?
No, but like you, I was intrigued as a kid because I would see on TV the cast of the footprints. You know, they would do the cast, and so it intrigued me.
I saw a UFO. And I saw something that I remain convinced to this day, I was 10 or 11 years old, was not of this earth. And then all of a sudden, a couple of years, you know, in the last year, we've got these top secret, you know, records released by the Air Force with pilots talking about their experiences with these things that defy gravity, that move faster than anything man could make, that could pull that many G's and all of this. And I woke up one morning, probably 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. We lived up on a hill overlooking a town, and I looked out over this city, and I see this light that could very well have been a helicopter or something. And then all of a sudden it zipped from left to right much more rapidly than this was, bear in mind, would have been in the 1970s. It moves from left to right rapidly, moves back from right to left rapidly, and then just shoots straight off into the sky out of sight. Now, I to this day can't think of any kind of technology, even if there were drones back then, that would have been able to move that fast. It's probably what sparked my interest in things like UFOs. I read a lot of books and stuff on it after that.
I bet, something like that will get you focused on that. But if you think about an airplane going 700 miles an hour, and it just barely is creeping across the sky. So, yeah, I mean, if you've seen the International Space Station in the night sky, that's pretty phenomenal that you can see that it's, that it's bright, it's like bright moving star. But anyway,
yeah,
cool stuff.
And our next guest, according to some of the reports, there have been a number of these sightings right here in Missouri. Maybe some not too far from Bo's compound down there. We're gonna find
easy
out. Mad Moneymakers coming up from the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization, BFRO.net. We're going to ask him all about it on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors.
Indian legends tell about a big hairy man that roamed for many years throughout their land. White men laughed and said these legends weren't true, but now old Bigfoot has made man a fool.
Oh, yeah. It is Second Amendment Radio in the Great Outdoors, a song that Carl Middleman picked out that I've never heard in my life, actually.
That's great.
Well, I thought it was an old-timey country song that you would know. It's by Don Jones.
Never heard of him.
Okay.
I only go back so far, so,
This could be, really, really old. This could have been a 78.
Actually, it was funny because yesterday I got a text from Ryan Recker, who fills in for you occasionally.
Sure.
Said, I just got done listening to a whole bunch of Jerry Reed music. Is that classic country? I'm like, yeah.
Yeah,
a little
bit. Definitely is, yeah. Smoking the Bandit, right?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
a lot of them. Amos Moses.
Yeah.
You ever heard of Amos Moses?
Sure.
Okay, dial that up on your YouTube video maker. it is Second Amendment Radio on the Great Outdoors. Our next guest, really excited about this, Matt Moneymaker is from the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. They have a great website that I've been on since I received the link, BFRO.net, founded in 1995. And it's the only scientific research organization exploring the Bigfoot Sasquatch mystery. Welcome to our show, sir. How are you?
Very good.
I noticed that in August there was a sighting of note on your website. You want to talk about that?
Which one? There's a lot of sightings.
Well, okay. Well, is there that many? I mean, the one in August is it near a school? Is that what it was?
Oh, you're talking about up in Michigan.
In Michigan, that's the one, yeah.
Okay, just so you understand, yes, there's sightings in different parts of the country all the time. And that comes as a shock to many people because they think, well, how could Bigfoot be in so many different places? Because they've bought into the often repeated misconception that there's only one of them, this thing called Bigfoot, as opposed to a population of animals. They're very rare, but there's certainly more than one.
Wow.
So up up at, it's Houghton, sometimes I forget how to pronounce it, it's Houghton or Houghton Lake in the central part of Lower Michigan. A lady was driving down the road, and this is the most common type of sighting, is what we call a motorist sighting or a road crossing sighting. This was one was unusual because it was in daylight, about 11 o'clock, and these are, you know, roads up there in that part of Michigan. You know, you're usually you don't even see any other cars driving down the road. These are very lonely, you know, out in the country. And she drove up and saw a pretty tall, strikingly tall, dark furred creature standing on the side of the road looking toward the trees. And it just took a couple of steps and it was in the trees. She was kind enough to go back later and stand in the position where it was standing and looking into the woods. And we were able to recreate like how far she would have been. And yes, under those conditions at that distance, and she was absolutely certain up and down. And this is a woman in her 60s that it was not a bear or a deer or anything else. And she was certain it wasn't a person or even somebody in a costume because it was too big. It was, they're just too tall and broad. And that's a, again, that's a very common thing. That's usually how most people see them. They're driving down the road and they see one cross, but that shouldn't be surprising. That's how people usually see bears as they're driving down the road and they see a bear from their car.
Let me ask this, Matt, Mark Cox here. And, you know, since I was a kid, I've been fascinated by this. I really have.
Me too.
And yep. then I'll come across the critics. You know, I listen to, maybe I've heard you before on George Norrie. I listen to George Norrie's broadcast on the way in the mornings on this radio station. Then there's the people say, well, if this is true, if it's real, how come we've never found a body, or how come one's never been hit by a car and we've got, you know, some bones to prove it? And it seems, their argument is, it seems unlikely that we would never have had physical evidence if it's real.
And that is, I guess, a natural assumption that people would have, because they're comparing that to species that are much more numerous, like deer, like other animals. Even bear and mountain lions probably outnumber these things 1,000 to 1. They are that rare, and they're much more intelligent than other animals. Their intelligence level is in the realm of humans. So here you have something that's very rare, very intelligent, usually operating after dark. They're not going to get hit by cars very often. They're just too smart for that. And as you know, I mean, if you've been around and been out of the country, a lot of times you can hit an animal with a car and it's not going to die. It'll, you know, bounce off and run away. And people have described that. Hunters have also described shooting at them or missing them or hitting them, you know, and hearing them scream and run away. So to get, like, to end up with an accident ending up with a body is not going to be very rare. In terms of a body just being found, it would have to occur. It would just be such special circumstances that you'd find it, because you'd have to find one freshly dead before it decomposes and scavengers pull the body, you know, the bones apart, etc. Because, if you were to go walking out in the woods a lot, you're not going to find skeletons of animals out there.
Yeah, you don't.
They're not just skeletons laying around of common animals. Yeah. They get pulled apart, and you could step right over the bones of a deer or a bear or a Bigfoot once they're scattered out, and you wouldn't even know what you're looking at. You'd have to see a fully intact skull, because if you saw a Bigfoot leg bone and you're walking in the woods, would you look at it and go, oh, that's a Bigfoot leg bone? You wouldn't know the difference between that and like an elk or a cow. So people have kind of a cartoonish understanding of what happens to dead animals in the woods, as if their bodies are just laying there with nice bleached white bones laying on the surface. That's not reality.
Yeah, still connected. Matt Moneymaker is our guest from the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. That's BFRO.net. When it comes to the technology of cameras nowadays, Matt, you know, we have learned, Oceanic has learned whales that, you know, used to be thought of as, you know, solo fish, that with drone technology and airplanes and helicopters, they've found that a lot of these species actually are in schools in the ocean. And so I guess my this is not a conversation to debunk, because I want to hear your interaction with Bigfoot too, but with all the game cams of the world, and I've got them all over my property as well for security and to see what wildlife's out there, how come there's not more clear video or pictures?
Well, it's funny, because sometimes people, you know, frame that question as, how come there's none? And there is some. And so you're saying, how come there's not more? Well, yeah, okay. Well, there's probably more than you think. I could send you some from my phone right away. What I think people are expecting is this, like, cover of Time magazine, clear, like, 10 feet away, right in front of the camera, fully, you know, illuminated in daylight. And that's, you know, okay, so here, let me ask you just about the way you place it. And I'll start by saying 95% of the trail cameras that have ever been sold and haven't been, like, thrown away because they don't work, if they're out there, they're in garages and in closets sitting on the shelf, and they're only taken out, if at all, right before deer season. They're put up like 10 days before, and that's all they're ever used for. And then there's guys like you, I've known plenty of them, who have several of them out on their own property. Let me ask you, do you have batteries? You have those running all year round?
I do. They're on solar panels that recharge the battery. So, but that's a security thing, you know. So that's kind of why I have it out there. And again, I don't expect to see Bigfoot on my cameras necessarily, but I know that they're everywhere. And I'm just curious, you know, Google Maps has not caught one on.
I've rarely run across one in the wild, a trail cam. But when you mount them, how do you do that? You just put them up, let me guess, head height right on the tree trunk, just like so you can walk up and deal with it, right?
Yeah, I was advised to do it about 3 feet off the ground, and I've got it right on my gate to my property, which is interesting because I was like, somebody's going to steal this thing. Nobody ever sees it, and it's right there in plain sight. But anyway, not to contend with you there. I would like to hear your interaction with Bigfoot, though, if you have a story.
Yes. I have several of them, but, I mean, the face-to-face one I had seen tracks and heard sound recordings. Seen tracks, heard their sounds in the wild, talked to many witnesses. I had obtained sound recordings before I finally had a face-to-face encounter. So even with all of that indicating that they were real, there's still like a cloud of doubt that will follow you, and I think it's natural, until you actually see one with your own eyes. You'll find a million ways to kind of talk yourself out of all the other evidence combined, because it's just, it doesn't hit you. So finally, I had that experience. Took about 8 years of like intermittently, you know, pursuing them, but finally had that encounter, and it was in Eastern Ohio. It was in a wildlife refuge in the middle of the night, and it took a long time and collecting in from sightings and knocking on doors and narrowing it down to figure out that, yeah, some were probably in this wildlife refuge. So I went in there with a local guy who had seen one. We were there in the middle of the night, and it's kind of a long story, but eventually one came up. They realized that we were there. I think it's because they saw the little lights on the walkie-talkie and the night vision. But one walked up in back of me and walked out of the tree line and was just standing there growling at me. And I had heard about sightings like that, I mean, encounters like that in Ohio, in that same part of Ohio. And so I kind of knew how they would go, which is, it wasn't going to jump on me and attack me and start eating me. It was just going to try to scare me out of the area. And I knew that that's what it was doing. And I just played along. And I was talking toward it like you would talk toward a growling dog, saying, okay, boy, it's okay. You know, but I was saying, okay, we're leaving. Look, I'm picking up my stuff and we're walking away. And so once I finally got out of there, because it was just in this, to walk out, you had to walk through basically a brush tunnel that was just pitch black. So I couldn't even tell if the thing was like walking right back to us. Wow. But once it got out, I was just elated because it showed that I had not been wasting my time. And that was, I think, probably the big, you know, not only was I not wasting my time, but then I knew from that point forward that any time I heard, you know, would hear a skeptic or scientist, here's why I have doubts. It didn't matter. All those reasons why the assumptions that they would have about what would happen are explainable one way or another, but the fact is that they're real.
Okay.
So there's obviously some explanation for whatever assumptions about what would happen don't happen, but the animals are out there. And then everything else just made sense. Why people are saying very credible people see them all these different places, including not far away. And it was funny, you asked about the Michigan sighting. There was a more recent one, probably, I think, about 45 miles to the northeast of St. Louis on Shoal Creek, not long ago. It wasn't a visual, but it was auditory. And it turns out that Shoal Creek has one of those things that Sasquatches are, that there's a connection between freshwater clams and mussels, where there's a lot of those people will see them going into the creeks to go after them. Well, Shoal Creek is the bounty, has more of that than probably any other drainage in Missouri. And sure enough, there was one of the locals there. He would go up to visit his grandparents' property. And over the course of a few years, he actually did have a visual sighting in daylight a few years ago. But very recently, he heard knocks, really loud wood knocks, down near the creek. And this is like the back 40 of some, you know, farmer's property,
right,
where nobody goes. But yeah, so stuff happens near St. Louis, too. It's so, not just in the Northwest.
So Matt, I have to ask, have there been any sightings near High Ridge? Because Bo Matthews is known to walk shirtless around his property sometimes.
I have a size 15 foot.
That one, and he has a very large feet.
Well, you know, things like that could happen, but the report hasn't come our way yet.
Okay. That's good. Matt Moneymaker.
I've got game cam footage.
Yeah, no kidding. Matt Moneymaker, I guess, from the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. That's BFRO.net, founded back in 1995, if you want to get on there and find out some more information about it. Fascinating stuff. I know there are a lot of people around the country, including our own Dave Glover, who has had a Bigfoot experience. We're going to we talked to him about that just earlier in the show, so that's good stuff. Matt, thank you.
Very good.
Yeah, we'll talk to you.
Keep up the good work.
Yeah, talk to you again there. Bo,
be
careful down there.
Oh, I will.
All right. See you, Matt. Thank you.
And I walk carefully through my woods. It's just one of those things. I mean, you know, if they're finding dinosaur bones in Montana, we've talked to that crew that went out there from Missouri. I would love to see Bigfoot bones. I think it would just squash the rumor once and for all. And I didn't want to come off offending by asking about the camera technology, but that is a real thing, and they are out there. I've got a bunch out there.
It seems like the odds would be somebody would have come up with one of those really, it would almost look like a meme where he's just looking into the camera because he sees it go off. Maybe they just steal the cameras and crush them after that happens. Listen to me still in the Senate category here, but you know, Dave Glover is a believer, so I'm just telling you.
Absolutely.
There you have it. All right. Coming up, we're going to talk to Randy Terrell. There is a big old Bass Bash tournament coming up at the Lake of the Ozarks. So we're going to talk to him more about that straight ahead on Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Great.
Segment brought to you by Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors is brought to you by Razorback Armory featuring Mantis X. Save money on ammo and improve your shooting. Go into Razorback Armory on Manchester Road in De Pere to get a demonstration and buy the Mantis X for your shooting expertise. It'll change the way you shoot, and you can save money while you do it. Go to RazorbackArmory.com for more information and get the address and go over there.
Yep, and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, along with Bo Matthews. Otherwise, we've decided we're going to change the names, Carl, to Bigfoot on that side and Big Fish over here. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio with Bigfoot and Big Fish.
The Pew Pew Show with Bigfoot and Big Fish.
If you are just joining us maybe for the first time, you may not know, if you haven't heard me talk about this. When I was a kid on the CB radio, used to be on the CB radio, I had my handle was Big Fish because I loved fishing as a kid, and it's what I enjoyed doing. So my grandfather was the Kingfish, and I referred to myself as the Big Fish. So Bo Matthews has kind of taken that to heart and loves to tease me about it. But I don't fish as much as I used to. But I have to tell you, we've had some friends of the family who've become big in the pro fishing world. And Bo, it is something else. I'm telling you.
I don't make fun. I just love nicknames for people. That's it. We got to come up with a big something for Carl. The big intern. Nah, it doesn't work.
Pew pew.
Big Vader.
No.
Big Vader,
he's
like that.
He's the villain.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Big Luke.
Big Luke.
We'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out. That's good.
Sounds like Gunsmoke.
So there is a big bass tournament coming up we want to talk about here on, since we talk about the great outdoors all the time. Randy Terrell is joining us this morning because this is coming up the weekend of October 1st and 2nd down at the Lake of the Ozarks. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. So, obviously, are you competing or have you just helped organize this?
I just helped organize it. I actually started it 16 years ago and brought my son and daughter in. And so they kind of run it now, and I stand on the sidelines. I still do some work, but it's a full-time job.
Oh, I bet it is.
Well, Ken Bartels is the gentleman who's the president of the Concord Lions Club. He's the one that made this connection for us. We appreciate you coming on to talk about it. Are you still looking for people to fish for this tournament coming up?
Absolutely. We guarantee a $325,000 payout, so a lot of that depends on the number of entries we get, so we're not near there yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. So what does it cost to, like, what's the entry fee for somebody who wants to fish?
$190 covers 2 days of fishing per person.
Very reasonable.
If there's two in a boat, it's $190 each. So,
well, that's a good fundraiser.
Yeah, no kidding. And how do you determine the winners? Is it total pounds of fish, or is it the biggest fish, or are there a couple different categories?
In most professional tournaments, it is a total pounds of fish. In this particular one, it is one big fish. That will win the main prize of $100,000. And there's 45 spots every other hour. Every 2 hours, there's 45 spots. So let's say you catch a 6-pound bass, and it's the biggest bass Saturday morning from 7 to 9. You would win $1,500 for that bass down to 45 places, $190, anywhere in between that you fit.
Nice.
If that 6-pound bass held up for 2 days, we would add the $100,000 to that.
That's very reasonable. I mean, honestly, I always assumed it costs more than that to enter. Of course, you have to know what you're doing. You have to have the equipment and all that stuff. But wow.
And you know, if you compare it to what it takes to play golf, I mean, it's really not that much
exactly.
different. You know, also, Randy Terrell, is it Terrell or Terrell?
Terrell.
Randy, do you also put a tagged fish in the water as well, that if somebody catches that, there's a prize, or is that not in this tournament?
No, we don't do that.
No.
I have heard of ones that do it, but we don't.
And that lake's so big, I don't know what are the odds are you'd ever catch it again.
That's true.
So, Randy, tell us about where on the Lake of the Ozarks. So, I was a sport boater for a long time, and parts of that lake are so rough. I'm guessing this is further down the lake somewhere, Camdenton, or is it just in effect for the whole lake?
It's in effect the whole lake. There's 5 weigh-in spots. From PB2, Public Beach Number 2, all the way up to the 60-mile marker at Ivy Bend. So there's 5 different places people can go out and fish. They catch a fish, they go into one of those places, weigh it, we give them a receipt, and they go back to trying to find a bigger one.
Wow, how fun is that? Now, do you get a lot of professional fishermen in this, or just mm-hmm. civilians, or is it a mix of everybody?
No, it's mostly for the weekend fishermen. There are some people who fish in it that are better than others that do some competitive fishing, but the big names in the competitive fishing we don't allow in.
Oh wow, yeah, that's wow. 100
protected.
So the person that catches the biggest bass in this tournament mm-hmm. is going to walk away with how much money?
$1,500.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
that is so fun.
And we've had over 16 years, we've had, you'd think, you know, somebody around Lake of the Ozarks would probably win it, but very seldom they do. It's somebody from Kentucky, Iowa, Kansas. They come from 35 states to Lake of the Ozarks.
How many? Yeah, how many fishermen are you likely to see this year? What's the most you've ever had?
Most we've ever had is 3,800. 3,800. We expect about 3,400 this year. So
wow, that's fantastic. Randy, let me ask you about your connection with the Concord Village Lions. Ken was telling me you make a pretty hefty donation every year.
I do. Two charities. We donate about $30,000 a year to the Concord Village Lions. It adds to about $20,000, and I also give to St. Jude's and other, Humane Society and other things.
Wonderful. So, that's very kind.
I just wanted to ask what motivated you to start this 16 years ago? Did you see a need for it? Was it a business idea? I mean, is this a for profit business for you?
It is. It is for us. Right. We 16 years ago in 06, I've always been a bass fisherman and a below average golfer and whatever. My son and I took a trip to Alabama to fish in one fish tournament. And on the way back from Alabama, we started talking and said, nobody's doing this in Missouri. Let's try it. And be a long story short, I hocked my house and I lost $100,000 in 3 years. And after that, it started making money. So here we are.
a dream come true, huh? You had your passion paid off.
It absolutely was. It was it's beyond our belief right now that it would get this big. And, there's possibilities of it even going a lot bigger. We just need to talk to the right people.
Absolutely. And we've got those people listening. Randy Terrell is the founder of the event, the 16th annual Big Bass Bash tournament going on Lake of the Ozarks, October 1st and 2nd. If you're hearing this and you're going, I got that weekend off, well, you might want to get signed up. You can go to MidwestFishTournaments.com, BigBassBashAsWell.com. That's BigBassBash.com. And I've got to imagine that, I've got friends that put on golf tournaments, things like that. I'm guessing you're probably not fishing at this tournament. You're working.
I am not. I have to work for it's a long 3 days that I put in down here. So, I enjoy it. I work hard at it. And so does my son and daughter.
That's
well,
great.
It's great, and I know a lot of people that are passionate about fishing. I don't do it as often as I used to. I'd love to do something like that, but that's amazing. 3,400 people spread out. I mean, it's a huge lake, and I hope people get involved. I mean, that's impressive, I'll just say.
Yeah, when's the last time you went bass fishing there, Randy?
Oh, I go down there quite often on my own, and I fish some other small tournaments. I don't get into big ones. I'm not good enough. I do a lot more fishing than I do catching, but I enjoy it, just like playing golf.
Just like playing golf. I do a lot more duffing than I do golfing, but I enjoy it.
In fact, we played in the Lions Club tournament yesterday. So.
Well, fantastic. Good luck to you. October 1st and 2nd is at the Lake of the Ozarks, the 16th annual Big Bass Bash Tournament. And what an honor it is, Randy Terrell, to talk to you. Thank you so much and good luck. We pray for good weather for you, sir.
Thank you very much. And thanks for giving me a chance to put this on the air.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you on the 17th annual. How about that idea? We'll just make it a plan.
There you go. We'll do it.
All right. My best to Ken Bartels as well. Really good friend of this show. He was on last weekend. And the Concord Lions, man, the Concord Village Lions, they do a lot of great work. And it's all done when, something like this is going on. So thank you again to Randy Terrell. Again, the information about this tournament, if you want to head to the Lake of the Ozarks, go to BigBassBash.com. And so for Mark Cox, otherwise known as Big Fish.
Big Fish over here. Thank you.
We thank you very much for listening to the show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And that's pretty big news. You can win and I liked how he diced it out. He said, what's the most you can win? $1,500, because they're giving away those incremental prizes too. I think that's pretty sharp.
Even a mediocre fisherman like the Big Fish could win something. I just need a boat. Now I need a boat. Now I got to go talk to the wife about getting a boat. Honey, I could win $100,000 if I just had a boat.
Let's role play.
You think that logic would work?
I think that's a wonderful idea, Big Fish.
Clearly not my wife on the other end of the line.
She doesn't call you that, does she?
No. But few choice words, but not that one. I'm just kidding. Bo Matthews, have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Yep, and spread this around. It's a podcast, and we thank you for listening on whatever radio station it is. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, see you, boys.
This segment brought to you by Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors is brought to you by Razorback Armory featuring Mantis X. Save money on ammo and improve your shooting. Go into Razorback Armory on Manchester Road in De Pere to get a demonstration and buy the Mantis X for your shooting expertise. It'll change the way you shoot and you can save money while you do it. Go to RazorbackArmory.com for more information and get the address and go over there.
Yep, and welcome back to Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Mark Cox, along with Bo Matthews. Otherwise, we've decided we're going to change the names, Carl, to Bigfoot on that side and Big Fish over here. Welcome to Second Amendment Radio with Bigfoot and Big Fish.
The Pew Pew Show. With Bigfoot and Big Fish.
If you are just joining us, maybe for the first time, you may not know if you haven't heard me talk about this. When I was a kid on the CB radio, used to be on the CB radio, I had my handle was Big Fish because I loved fishing as a kid, and it's what I enjoyed doing. So my grandfather was the kingfish, and I referred to myself as the big fish. So Bo Matthews has kind of taken that to heart and loves to tease me about it. But I don't fish as much as I used to. But I have to tell you, we've had some friends of the family who've become big in the pro fishing world, and Bo, it is something else. I'm telling you.
I don't make fun. I just love nicknames for people. That's it. We got to come up with a big something for Carl. The big intern. Nah, it doesn't work.
Pew pew.
Big Vader.
No.
Big Vader.
He's
like that.
He's the villain.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
Big Luke.
Big Luke.
No, we'll figure it out.
We'll figure something out. That's good.
Sounds like Gunsmoke.
So there is a big bass tournament coming up we want to talk about here on since we talk about the great outdoors all the time. Randy Terrell is joining us this morning because this is coming up the weekend of October 1st and 2nd down at the Lake of the Ozarks. Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Obviously, are you competing or have you just helped organize this?
I just helped organize it. I actually started it 16 years ago and brought my son and daughter in. And so they kind of run it now. And I stand on the sidelines. I still do some work, but it's a full-time job.
Oh, I bet it is.
Well, Ken Bartels is the gentleman who's the president of the Concord Lions Club. He's the one that made this connection for us. We appreciate you coming on to talk about it. Are you still looking for people to fish for this tournament coming up?
Absolutely. We guarantee a $325,000 payout, so a lot of that depends on the number of entries we get, so we're not near there yet.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, no kidding. So what does it cost to, like, what's the entry fee for somebody who wants to fish?
$190 covers 2 days of fishing per person.
Very
reasonable.
If
there's two in a boat, it's $190 each. So,
that's a good fundraiser.
Yeah, no kidding. And how do you determine the winners? Is it total pounds of fish, or is it the biggest fish, or are there a couple different categories?
In most professional tournaments, it is a total pounds of fish. In this particular one, it is one big fish. That will win the main prize of $100,000. And there's 45 spots every other hour, every 2 hours, there's 45 spots. So let's say you catch a 6-pound bass and and it's the biggest bass Saturday morning from 7 to 9. You would win $1,500 for that bass down to 45 places, $190, anywhere in between that you fit.
Nice.
If that 6-pound bass held up for the 2 days, we would add the $100,000 to that.
That's very reasonable. I mean, honestly, I always assumed it costs more than that to enter. Of course, you have to know what you're doing. You have to have the equipment and all that stuff. But, wow.
And, you know, if you compare it to what it takes to play golf, I mean, it's really not that much
exactly.
different. You know? And also, Randy Terrell, is it Terrell or Terrell?
Terrell.
Terrell. Randy, do you also put a tagged fish in the water as well, that if somebody catches that, there's a prize, or is that not in this tournament?
That's not us. No, we don't do that.
No.
I have heard of ones that do it, but we don't.
And that lake's so big, I don't know what are the odds are you'd ever catch it again.
Yeah, that's true.
So, Randy, tell us about where on the Lake of the Ozarks. So, I was a sport boater for a long time, and parts of that lake are so rough. I'm guessing this is down further down the lake somewhere, Camdenton, or is it just in effect for the whole lake?
It's in effect the whole lake. There's 5 weigh-in spots. From PB2, Public Beach Number 2, all the way up to the 60-mile marker at Ivy Bend. So there's 5 different places people can go out and fish. They catch a fish, they go into one of those places, weigh it, we give them a receipt, and they go back to trying to find a bigger one.
Wow, how fun is that? Now, do you get a lot of professional fishermen in this, or just mm-hmm. civilians, or is it a mix of everybody?
No, it's mostly for the weekend fishermen. There are some people who fish in it that are better than others that do some competitive fishing, but the big names in the competitive fishing we don't allow in.
Oh wow, yeah, that's wow. 100
protected.
So the person that catches the biggest bass in this tournament mm-hmm. is going to walk away with how much money?
$1,500.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
And,
that is so fun.
And we've had over 16 years, we've had, you'd think, you know, somebody around Lake of the Ozarks would probably win it, but very seldom they do. It's somebody from Kentucky, Iowa, Kansas. They come from 35 states to Lake of the Ozarks.
How many? Yeah, how many fishermen are you likely to see this year? What's the most you've ever had?
Most we've ever had is 3,800, 3,800. We expect about 3,400 this year. So
wow, that's fantastic. Randy, let me ask you about your connection with the Concord Village Lions. Ken was telling me you make a pretty hefty donation every year.
I do. Two charities, we donate about $30,000 a year to the Concord Village Lions. It adds to about $20,000. And I also give to St. Jude's and other, you know, Humane Society and other things.
Wonderful. So, that's very kind.
Now I just wanted to ask, what motivated you to start this 16 years ago? Did you see a need for it? Was it a business idea? I mean, is this a for-profit business for you?
It is. It is for us.
Right.
We 16 years ago in 06, I've always been a bass fisherman and a below average golfer and whatever. My son and I took a trip to Alabama to fish in one of this type of tournament. And on the way back from Alabama, we started talking and said, nobody's doing this in Missouri. Let's try it. And be a long story short, I hocked my house and I lost $100,000 in 3 years. And after that, it started making money. So here we are.
a dream come true, huh? You had your passion paid off.
It absolutely was. It was it's beyond our belief right now that it would get this big. And, you know, there's possibilities of it even going a lot bigger. We just need to talk to the right people.
Absolutely. And we've got those people listening. Randy Terrell is the founder of the event, the 16th annual Big Bass Bash tournament going on Lake of the Ozarks, October 1st and 2nd. If you're hearing this and you're going, I got that weekend off, well, you might want to get signed up. You can go to Midwest fishtournaments.com, bigbassbashaswell.com. That's bigbassbash.com. And I've got to imagine that, you know, I've got friends that put on golf tournaments, things like that. I'm guessing you're probably not fishing at this tournament. You're working.
I am not. I have to work for it's a long 3 days that I put in down there. So, yeah, I enjoy it. I work hard at it, and so does my son and daughter.
That's
well,
great.
It's great, and I know a lot of people that are passionate about fishing. I don't do it as often as I used to. I'd love to do something like that, but that's amazing. 3,400 people spread out. I mean, it's a huge lake, and I hope people get involved. I mean, that's impressive, I'll just say.
Yeah, when's the last time you went bass fishing there, Randy?
Oh, I go down there quite often on my own, and I fish some other small tournaments. I don't get into big ones. I'm not good enough. I do a lot more fishing. I do catching, but I enjoy it, just like playing golf, you know.
Just like playing golf. I do a lot more duffing than I do golfing, but I enjoy it.
In fact, we played in the Lions Club tournament yesterday, so.
Well, fantastic. Good luck to you. October 1st and 2nd is at the Lake of the Ozarks, the 16th annual Big Bass Bash Tournament. And what an honor it is, Randy Terrell, to talk to you. Thank you so much and good luck. We pray for good weather for you, sir.
Thank you very much. And thanks for giving me a chance to put this on the air.
Absolutely. We'll talk to you on the 17th annual. How about that idea? We'll just make it a plan.
There you go. We'll do it.
All right. My best to Ken Bartels as well. Really good friend of this show. He was on last weekend. And the Concord Lions, man, the Concord Village Lions, they do a lot of great work. And it's all done when, you know, something like this is going on. So thank you again to Randy Terrell. Again, the information about this tournament, if you want to head to the Lake of the Ozarks, go to bigbassbash.com. And so for Mark Cox, otherwise known as Big Fish.
Big Fish over here. Thank you.
We thank you very much for listening to the show, Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. And that's pretty big news. You can win and I liked how he diced it out. He said, What's the most you can win? $1,500, because they're giving away those incremental prizes too. I think that's pretty sharp.
Even a mediocre fisherman like the Big Fish could win something. I just need a boat. Now I need a boat. Now I got to go talk to the wife about getting a boat. Honey, I could win $100,000 if I just had a boat.
Let's role play.
You think that logic would work?
I think that's a wonderful idea, Big Fish.
Clearly not my wife on the other end of the line.
She doesn't call you that, does she?
No. But few choice words, but not that one. I'm just kidding. Bo Matthews, have a great weekend, my friend. Thank you.
Yep, and spread this around. It's a podcast, and we thank you for listening on whatever radio station it is. It is Second Amendment Radio and the Great Outdoors. Have a great rest of your weekend.
All right, see you, boys.
Get more at 971talk.com.